A lot of action this week in Raleigh as the General Assembly continues to move on several high-profile bills, including SB 49, the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights that includes provisions banning LGBTQ topics in grades K through 4 and requiring schools to inform parents if students want to change their pronouns in class. That bill passed the Senate Education Committee yesterday, moves on now to the Health Care Committee. And the NNO reports another bill filed yesterday in the State House would ban gender-affirming medical treatment for trans kids under 18. A similar bill was filed last year but did not advance. No indication yet whether this year will be any different. One other bill we're following would impose tougher penalties on anyone convicted of intentionally damaging utility equipment following the attacks on Duke Energy substations in Moore County back in December that left tens of thousands without power. That bill also is heading to committees. Closer to home, we're also following an ongoing controversy on campus as the UNC Chapel Hill Board of Trustees recently approved a proposal to create a new school of civic life and leadership, apparently with the intention of adding more conservative faculty to UNC. That proposal's drawn fire primarily because the Board of Trustees is not responsible for creating new schools. That's up to a committee made of faculty members, and in this case, faculty members said they were left out of the discussion altogether. You can read more on this today on our website, chapelborough.com, and stay with us here on 97.9 The Hill. We'll take a much deeper look at that issue tomorrow. Other news from campus, a new study out of UNC has found that checking social media on a regular basis can actually influence brain development in adolescents, potentially in bad ways, but also potentially in good ways, too. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward explains.
The study looked at a group of middle schoolers from public schools in North Carolina. Researchers found the more time they spent on social media, the more sensitive their brains became to getting social feedback from their peers. Kara Fox is a UNC doctoral student in psychology. She's one of the co-authors of the study, which was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics in early January. She said the study was longitudinal, meaning researchers studied the children over time, specifically 3 years.
We followed about 200 kids who filled out a survey indicating how much they check social media, and then they also did a brain scan every year.
The study tracked student traffic to 3 different platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Fox said the yearly MRI scan allowed researchers to look at different parts of the children's brain.
They completed tasks in the scanner to elicit activation in certain areas and social processing.
Fox said children who checked these social media sites more than 15 times a day, whom she called habitual checkers, started out as less sensitive to social feedback and became more sensitive over time. Meanwhile, she said children who were moderate to low checkers of social media started out as higher in sensitivity and decreased over time.
So what the study shows us is that different media behaviors are associated with different trajectories of brain development. It's sort of a foundation for future study because we don't really know what that means yet. All we can say is media behaviors are associated with changes in brain development, or at least different brain development.
Adolescents are wired to value social relationships and information above everything else, Fox said.
A lot of really important tasks of development that are happening in adolescence happen with peers helping out. So like identity exploration and development there. So it's always been this way. And for kids that are growing up now, a lot of that is happening online.
Fox said children interacting more online isn't necessarily cause for concern. She noted it's too soon to conclude if the different trajectories of brain development will have a positive or negative impact. Ultimately, the risk of using social media is dependent on each individual person, Fox said.
Something that we're trying to explore and identify so we can figure out what are some resilience factors, what are some risk factors, and certain types of media activities, interpretations, responses to social norms.
Fox said the study was a great first step to answer questions researchers held, but more answers are still needed.
It confirms a little bit of what we suspected already, is that social media is related to different trajectories of brain development in kids. So I think that's important that people are aware of that, but also we need to get more information about what that means so that we can give specific recommendations on that.
In the meantime, Fox encourages people to reflect on their own habitual checking habits and urges parents to talk to their children about how often they refresh social media.
Kids love to talk about their media use. They love to tell you all about what they're doing on there. And it's good to have that open channel of communication open so that parents can, one, monitor sort of what their kids are doing, and two, like, talk with them about all of those things I just mentioned. Like, are you happy with your use? Does it align with your values? Are you using it for any kind of purpose? Are there things that maybe, you know, are affecting you badly? Maybe you're feeling bad about yourself sometimes when you're using these platforms, and just kind of get kids thinking about that in conversations.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Other health news, COVID-19 metrics held steady last week with a slight uptick in COVID particles in wastewater, but a continued drop in COVID-related hospitalizations. Health experts still urging everyone to keep following those basic precautions. Stay home when you're sick, mask up in crowded indoor spaces, and stay up to date on your COVID vaccine. In crime news, the Orange County Sheriff's Office made a major drug arrest on Tuesday night that started when a deputy pulled over a vehicle for erratic driving near the Rams Plaza shopping center. The driver turned out to have a revoked license, and further investigation turned up 14 grams of fentanyl concealed in the trunk. Two men from Henderson now face multiple felony charges, including drug trafficking. Their first court appearance was yesterday. Back in Raleigh, the state Supreme Court will hear oral arguments today in a case over a state law that bans felony offenders from voting even after they're released from prison. The law in question, passed in the 70s, also bans offenders from voting if they're on probation or parole. That's about 56,000 North Carolinians right now. A lower court ruled that the prohibition violates the state constitution. And finally, last month, our community lost a major figure with the passing of John Blackfeather Jeffries, the former chair and longtime tribal elder for the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation. Jeffries was influential not just locally, but statewide and beyond. In fact, Governor Roy Cooper ordered flags at half-mast yesterday in Jeffries' honor. Tony Hayes is the current chair of the Okanichi Tribal Council, and he shared his thoughts about Jeffries earlier this week on 97.9 The Hill.
John was very, very adamant about making sure that things were done culturally correct. He was also the ultimate showman as far as making sure that people understood exactly why the culture was as it was and why it was so important. One of John's favorite phrases that I always loved is, "You can't be an Indian part of the time, you have to be an Indian all of the time." And believe me, John lived up to that expectation. And he basically was a mentor to a lot of my tribal people, including myself. Everybody that met John never forgot John. He was just, you know, the quintessential leader and, you know, was always doing things in the benefit of Indians across the country.
That's Tony Hayes speaking there. You can read more about John Jeffries' life and legacy on our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. Carolina men's basketball has been playing well lately, but the Tar Heels cannot seem to figure out Pitt. The Panthers beat the Heels again last night, 65-64, in a back-and-forth game that ended only when Pitt blocked a Caleb Love three-pointer as the final buzzer sounded. Shooting made the difference last night. Carolina shot just 35% from the floor and just 59% from the free-throw line. Caleb Love actually had a better shooting night, finishing with a game-high 22 points and making four of UNC's 5 3-pointers, but that was not enough as Carolina suffered its first home loss of the season. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis.
The number one thing in regards, you know, to our team the whole year is the discipline and the details. It's tightening the screws on the things that, the little things that allow you to be successful out there on the floor, and staying on script, doing things that we've practiced, doing things that we've drilled and talked about and practiced and shoot around, and consistently doing those things. And we weren't disciplined enough to win the game. We weren't tough enough to win the game. We didn't shoot the ball well enough to win the game. We didn't play good enough defense to win the game. You know, it's at the end of the day, we had a 1-point lead with the ball. And on two straight possessions, we turned the ball over, didn't get a shot, and then we fouled them and put them on the free throw line. And so at the end of the day, you have to score and you got to get stops. And in a crucial moment where the only thing that you needed to do was get a score or a stop or both, we got neither. And that's the frustrating part.
That's Hubert Davis there. Carolina's next game is the big one at Duke this Saturday evening. Tar Heels and Blue Devils now tied for sixth in the ACC standings with a 7-4 conference record. UNC women's basketball hits the court tonight. 11th-ranked Tar Heels hosting Virginia, looking for their eighth straight win. Junior Alyssa Usby got a big honor yesterday. She's been named as one of the 10 leading candidates for the Cheryl Miller Award as the nation's top small forward. Tonight's game tips off at 6. We'll have all of that action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Other Tar Heel athletes earning honors yesterday, too. Freshman gymnast Kaya Forbes has been named Co-Rookie of the Week by the East Atlantic Gymnastics League. 19 Tar Heel women's soccer players earned all ACC academic honors, and UNC men's lacrosse star Connor Mayer was named a preseason All-American by the U.S. Intercollegiate Lacrosse Association. UNC as a team also checked in at number 20 in the ILA's preseason rankings. Their season gets underway a week from Friday. And speaking of team rankings, UNC baseball came in at number 13 in the preseason poll from the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. Their season opens up on the 17th. Elsewhere in sports, a big win yesterday for second-ranked UNC women's tennis, 4-1 over 5th-ranked Georgia. Now the Tar Heels have 9 days off before the ITA National Team Indoor Championships. That's next weekend in Seattle. And while the UNC men's basketball team couldn't keep its winning streak going, the Carolina Hurricanes are still rolling. They beat the Sabres 5-1 last night for their 7th win in a row. The Canes are back home this Saturday, looking to make it 8 in a row when they host the Rangers at 7.